Powered by the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. This is One-on-One with Banning Leapshire.
Hey, welcome back to part two with the interview One-on-One with Banning Leapshire and Sherry Silk. We're glad that you joined us. I'm here with Banning Leapshire.
Yeah, come on. It's good to be here. I love these interviews.
They take us deep.
Yeah, they really do.
And so, again, this is the second half of the first interview that you heard. If you haven't had an opportunity to hear that first part of the interview, I encourage you to go back to part one. And
you know, and Dean, the reason why we're even doing these interviews and have added this one-on-one segment is because ultimately we want to go deeper. Like, yeah. There's, you know, you can jump in and get certain things in segments, but we want to be able to sit down and just have a conversation.
Right. Uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
It's good stuff.
And really, this is one of the reasons why we've started the leadership community. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, I would really encourage you to go check out the Jesus Culture Leadership Community. Everything's JCLP, JCLC.
Yeah. Yes.
We just put initials and everything. But the leadership community, which is something that you subscribe to, is where we send you weekly resources, video-based articles, interviews, but where we're just really trying to say, listen, we're running into so many people that have a heart to go deeper in the things of God and to grow as a leader, to become effective as a leader, both spiritually and practically, and their skill set and their heart and different things. And so we want to raise up healthy leaders. We want to raise up effective leaders. And the leadership community for us is really the next step for that.
Yeah.
And it's a chance to connect with us a lot more too, as far as the weekly encouragements we send and the different teachings and things.
Yeah. And on a real practical side, for as little as $16 a month, you can invest in yourself as a leader. And so if you have any questions, feel free to email me. You can email me at jclc@jesusculture.com. But let's dive into the interview, the second half with Sherry Silk.
So with us today, again, for the second part, is Sherry Silk. Sherry is on staff with us at Jesus Culture, runs a ton of stuff. You can go back and get all of her pedigree and history of leadership. We talked about that on the last one. But it's doing just a great job. I said this before, and I mean this, not because she's just sitting across the table from me, but is really one of the best leaders I've ever worked with. Very, very impressed by how she leads and what she does and the health of the teams and the ability to execute and implement and the ability to lead the way she does is really, really impressive. So, Sherry, thank you again for joining us for the second part of this interview.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's just jump straight in. You talked a little bit on the last interview how, you know, you have been known to be a controlling person. You gather people that run over people.
We like control.
There's a DISC task, which not everybody would know, but D-I-S-C, mm-hmm. So dominant.
Influence,
steady.
Steadfast.
Steadfast and conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a high I with D right behind it, but you're a high D, mm-hmm. which would be a high dominance.
Right.
And so you like to be in control.
Like most of the presidents.
Yes, tell me. Like almost everybody
else.
Most
every CEO.
She's like everybody else that's ever accomplished anything in the world.
Exactly.
But
want me on your team.
Yeah. But, again, we don't want to get into age right here, but you are older than, yeah, you know, all the young adults and,
54.
Your season. Yeah. You're a mom, you're a grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why that is really amazing right now is you've gone through a lot of years, decades worth of leadership. I want to know, a lot of people out there, either one, they are a high D, or two, mm-hmm. they're working with a high D. They've got a high D in their life and they may be at different stages of their development earlier mm-hmm. than you are right now. So when you started, yeah, I'm assuming that high D dominance thing, you know, which again is beautiful in the right, is beautiful when managed right.
Right.
I mean, it
right.
gets things done. It takes charge.
Yeah, taking the ground.
Yeah, it's taking ground. It's knocking walls down. It's solving problems. It's courageous. But it also very much affects the environment
right.
in some negative ways, as all of them do, high I's and
right.
S's and everything else. But talk to me a little bit. Your messes may just be bigger.
Yeah.
Honestly, my messes are bigger.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about your journey of figuring yourself out and figuring out, one, being okay with you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
that a high D is not a negative statement. Right. It's actually a positive statement.
Yeah.
Figuring yourself out, being okay with who you are, and then understanding the impact you're having on your environment and how you're managing that now
yeah.
and doing it so effectively. So I just literally gave you, as I do, I just give you five or six yeah. questions and just say, just go talk.
That's good.
And then I'll interrupt on all of it.
Yeah, I think when we first did the DISC testing and I found out I was a high D, I was happy about it. I mean, I'm like, oh, this makes sense, but I've done most of my leading in the church. And so then that was the sort of the downside, especially as a woman. We can get into that later. But what I had to learn was...
Which we will. This isn't a podcast about women leaders, but yeah. I do want to jump into that thing because that's an intriguing thing you're bringing up. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I think dominant people are also professional apologizers. They... are always, it's kind of like, let's take the hill. So you put the dominant person out front and they charge the hill and take it. And we're all cheering them on. Then we realize, oh, that's the wrong hill. And then you're like, oh, here's your head that I took off. You're going to need this back. You know, you gave me permission to run and take the ground. And then, you know, we actually didn't love how I did it, or this is the wrong direction. But so I think what happened to me when I started really paying attention to sort of maybe some broken spots in my life or where the rubs were happening was when a situation happens and there's a problem or there's a disconnect or there anything and it's relational, a dominant person tends to show up with way more intensity than they need. You know, they've got this, oh, I'm threatened. I need to take the ground. I would instantly protect myself. And when I'm disconnected from someone or I'm opposing them, they become my enemy or my, you know, someone I'm going to have to get through. Where I had to just teach myself, like, this, I do not have to bring this level of intensity to this situation because I hurt people. I hurt people with my actions, with my words.
Is that how you learn that?
By making mistakes?
Not intentionally hurting people, but by understanding you're coming at a 10 when it requires a 5 and the impact that's having on people?
Yeah, I mean, some of the dynamics in my house is I have 6 brothers, I'm the only girl, so I have some other things that rolled into my personality type, but I would make a mistake and I would hurt people. And then I, like everyone, we hate cleaning up the messes that we've made. So... especially it was at home, either with Danny or the kids, but also with my coworkers, I would have to go back and apologize. So I did not like that experience because that's like failing a little bit. Not that apologizing is failing, but just that I'm here again. So I would check myself in the meeting earlier or whatever so that I'm dialing down that intensity. I start to not talk, which is not common for me. So I might be sorting it out, but it's way better than me showing up with, you know, all this intensity when I don't, because I got really tired of saying I'm sorry and making messes and hurting people I love. So I started to back it off a little bit.
It's almost like... well, we've talked about this. I don't know how real we can get here. This is a podcast. It's only going out to 52 people, so it'll be fine. But, you know, lots of times with personalities like you or even me, who have has a lot of that high D stuff, people are scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared of us.
Right.
And at some level, it's confusing. You're like, why are people scared of me? Like, mm-hmm. I got the biggest heart in the world. Like, I love people. But somehow they're not encountering that.
You know,
and we're like, my wife, who's not a high D, and my sister, who is a high D, we'll sit down and my sister and I will have a conversation. And my wife and I, we'll just be talking about some subject. And I love my sister. She loves me. We're for each other. Yeah. We'll be talking. And also my wife will pull me aside later that night. Or not pull me aside. We'll be talking. She goes, man, are you doing all right after that fight with your sister? I was like,
that wasn't a fight.
Fight? What are you talking about? When? I'm confused. She goes, you guys were like,
yeah.
I'm like, what? We're just having a conversation. And so we're both, you know, so all of a sudden I'm confused. I'm having that same like, oh, let's go wrestle. I want to wrestle through this subject.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people are just like scared. Wrestle. Yeah, like I don't wrestle.
I don't know how to wrestle.
And I'm like, I don't. So it's very, I found myself very confused. Like, why are people thinking I don't care? Mm-hmm. Where's that coming from? I care.
Yeah.
How do you not think I care?
I think some of that you just have to check at the door, meaning some people have their own issues and they're afraid of you when they hardly even talk to you. You know, it's like, oh, I've had to work through that. Like I'm... You know, I look like I'm thinking. And so they're like, I was afraid you were mad. I'm like, I'm not mad. I'm thinking. You know, this is my thinking face. But the other thing is when you work with someone that doesn't like to wrestle, they don't like to fight, and they're this valued team member, my advice to them would be, like when I worked for school of ministry, I worked with Mark Brooks, who's very sweet.
Opposite.
Yeah, opposite.
He's very sweet. You literally said he was very sweet. I said... He was like the opposite of you.
Well, he didn't want to fight ever. And so he would often, we'd have to get in a room and I'd have to just, not that there's a problem, just how we're going to go about solving a problem in the room, not a problem between us. And he had to learn to step up a little bit when it came to me, because he wants me out there. He wants me pushing and gaining ground. And that's where I'm most useful and helpful and skilled. But when I get one-on-one, you know, I have to dial that down, and then giving him permission. We tease Mark and I for years is he, sometimes you got to back me up with a 2x4, and Mark had to learn how to wield one, you know?
Yeah. Because we don't mind 2x4s. That's the other thing. I'm like, dude, come give me a 2x4.
Felt like a little bump.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't mind. I like 2x4s. All right. Okay. I got the point.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had to swing a 2x4.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had to navigate, and what would your advice be for people that aren't D's, that aren't high D's?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you talked a little bit about Mark, but some people, again, a lot of my stuff is you got to give people grace. You got to learn people. You got to connect to their heart. Once you connect with their heart, you give a lot more grace whenever they come at you. But maybe those that are working with high D's, and it's a lot of work to bring themselves. How do they navigate that?
I think you have to convince them that you love them. You know, probably it's across the board. Any person receives feedback better when they know they're loved. And I think that D personalities, dominant personality types, tend to be really hard on themselves. And so, you know, convincing them that you're absolutely for them and that you're going to be with them on the other side of the mess they're cleaning up. And that's where, you know, we're always working on that around here. But we're not going to disassociate myself from you because you made a mistake and you caused a problem. But I love you so much. We're going to walk all the way through it with you. And that helps me so much, you know.
I love it. It's one thing I really do appreciate about you, Sherry, that you have such a heart to grow, have such a heart to learn. I mean, again, you said you were 54, so I'm not just saying that. But, you know, at 54, still so hungry to grow, so hungry to change and morph. And I really appreciate it about you. I didn't sit down. I didn't want to do a women, you know, a women in leadership podcast interview, but it would be a shame if we didn't actually talk about a few of those subjects when it comes to women in leadership. Talk to me first about this. You're in a very male-driven environment. I mean, leadership, especially inside the church where you've lived, but even outside the church, is still in many ways very male-driven society and male-driven leadership. How have you navigated, kept your heart, whatever, you know, really guarded your heart through it all? How have you guarded your heart through that process of having to wade into male-driven environments? But also, how have you kept who you are as a woman and not just been accepted because you just became a male version of, does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, I would call it like the soft side of strong, really, is how do you be strong and soft at the same time, because the attributes of a woman is a nurturer. They really are. They're down to their physical body was made to nurture. So I think that's how God made us and intended us to be. So being in touch with that and being aware that, you know, in this environment, even in and outside of the church, women often they're overlooked because they're not ready to lead at that level because they haven't had any experience and they can't get an experience because they're not ready. And so I try to encourage women to be training themselves while they're home with their kids or while they're, because we typically get jobs with children or administrative jobs, and that's fine. But if you have a call on you to be in charge, be the leader, then you need to grow yourself and quit whining, quit being mad about it, and get the books and feed yourself and grow yourself and say yes. You know, I started to say yes to things every time I was asked to close a meeting or anything. I don't always want to, but the answer is going to be yes, because it's going to provide an opportunity for me to dig deep and find out what's inside me, and don't just wait for the big opportunity. And I think women tend to, they don't dream big dreams often, because they're working on somebody else's dream. We tend to be thinking about that nurture thing. What's my kids going to do? What's, you know, that, working on all of that. And so they forget about their own dreams. So sometimes developing yourself is because you have a hobby to learn photography, or you don't have to be the CEO of something to learn. You can have a dream that you're chasing. And one of the things that I would tell women is, you know, we have this, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and then we have these go-to-work moms. And for years, they fight with each other in that they devalue each other. And it doesn't have to be one or the other, because my daughter used to say, Mom, you need to go get a job, because you're actually a better mom when you have a job.
Yeah,
that's because awesome. If I was done organizing the house, I am done. The dishes are done, the laundry's done, everything's done, and I'm bored. And so you need something else to organize besides us. So I was better at home when I worked outside, but that doesn't mean everyone's like that. So sometimes women, they judge each other. You know, if you're working, then you're not as good a mom. And if you're staying at home, means you don't have any dreams, which those aren't true. And I think nowadays there's more opportunities out there for moms, in that there's more and more companies that have on-site daycares, or you can ask, even around here, we have working moms in the office. We know they're called to work, and we
are still not just have little kids, but are getting pregnant and
right,
having babies.
But we make room for them as a corporation, as a company. We know they're supposed to be with us, so we know we're going to make adjustments for them and what their families need. You're going to work from home today because someone's got a fever. And I think more and more there's companies out there.
Agreed. That,
so you don't have to have one or the other. Sometimes you can't have everything all at once. I think you can have it all. I don't know if you can have it all at once. It's hard to balance that, you know, kids at home. And I always worked. I worked from the time they were little, but I often left work when they got out of school and went home with them. So it's, you know, it's doable, but it is real. You should be able to talk about it and not be afraid about, you know, your boss is going to, you know, they're going to fire me because my kid's sick. That's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. We're talking about, again, if you're unfamiliar with the DISC test, the DISC, but the dominant, the high D, the high dominant leader has a hard time receiving feedback. So if you don't receive feedback, you have a hard time growing. Because
right.
If you don't understand the impact you're having on people around you, if you don't understand the blind spots in your life, which all come from people talking to you, saying, mm-hmm. Hey, can I talk to you about a blind spot? Hey, can I tell you about the impact you're having, how you're influencing me? How did you get good at being able to receive feedback or having a value for it even without being defensive?
I think it's honing that listening skill and not thinking about how I'm going to defend myself while you're talking to me.
I'm not actually listening. I'm coming up with my rebuttal.
Yeah, right.
As you're talking, I'm coming up with my defense.
You know, last night we had a meeting with our core team at here at the church, and there's like 100 individuals there, and we had some teaching around feedback, and we had to turn to our neighbor and say, you know, who is allowed to give you feedback? And the next question was, who isn't allowed to give you feedback? And I think they're most...
It's a profound question.
Yeah, I think the answer would be everyone's allowed to give me feedback, but the kind of freeing moment was if, let's say I'm holding a Kleenex in my hand and it's my feedback and it's going to come out of my mouth and come over to you and get to you, you don't have to take the whole Kleenex. You know, when I'm giving you feedback, you can take, like, well, this part felt yes. right to me. Yes. So maybe most of it felt right because you're interacting with this person, they know you, and you trust them to take all of their feedback. But it's freeing to know that no matter who is giving the feedback, it doesn't mean it's all true, and sometimes it's harsh. But so you can just grab the piece that feels like, oh, that rings true. I should make an adjustment. And I think it's good for me anyway to feed back to you what you just told me. You know, if you came and said, Sherry, love, you know, these things.
Am I hearing you right? Is this what
are
you're
you saying? This?
Yes.
And then I address what you just said to me. Like, I'm sorry that you felt that way. So I think the listening skills is huge, just learning to stop and not talk on top of somebody else's. And the way you could do that is you're listening so that you can tell them back what they just said to you.
Yeah.
And then you know you listened.
Yeah, totally. I love it.
Yeah.
Sherry, we sure appreciate you taking time to sit down doing these two interviews. I so love what you bring and just really hope that everybody out there just really both encouraged and hopefully you can hear yourself and some of what's going on, or maybe get to know yourself a little bit better, or get to know other people better, or grab some tools. So, and again, we're always so, so encouraged by the people that are taking time to even just sit down and listen to a podcast and say, I want to grow. I want to grow as a leader. So thanks for what you're doing out there. And we will be back next month for another interview. See you then.
Hey, thanks so much again for joining us with this one-on-one with Banning and Sherry. Hey, next month, just want to let you know that Banning had an opportunity to recently sit down with Dave Gibbons, and he's doing some great things.
Yeah, Dave Gibbons, man. If you haven't sat down with Dave Gibbons, which, by the way, is part of our Jesus Culture Leadership community.
This month.
It's part of JCLC. We sit down with them on video. But I wanted to bring him a little bit more to the larger audience we have, and Dave's obviously an established pastor, author, leadership development guy. He's doing a great job both in church and in culture, but really, really challenged by the conversation we had. And myself, whether I sit down with Sherry or whether I sit down with Gabe Lyons or whether I sit down with Dave, I leave.
Yes.
I leave better. Like, I personally leave more equipped, more encouraged, more challenged, more inspired. That's what these leaders do for me. And I'm a learner. I still am just wanting to pick people's brains. I'm wanting to grow. I'm wanting to know what the Lord's shown you. I want to know the insights you've had. I want to know about your scars. I want to know about your mistakes. I want to know. I'm just so hungry to grow as a leader. And so for me, I mean, listen, if nobody ever listens to these interviews, it doesn't matter to me. I was able to sit down and learn myself. So,
well, I just want to say there are people listening. I know I enjoy them. And hey, we're so looking forward to that interview next month. But hey, once again, thanks for being with us. Hey, jump in the conversation on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we look forward to talking with you next month.